So let's start with today's Q&A session, and then we'll proceed later for the Bhagavad Gita chanting and the Chaurashtakam prayers. So one thing before starting, I would like to share. See, all of us have been coming for the session, and all of you, and I'm sure you all are blessed by Lord Krishna, or else it's not possible to continue like this week after week. So, it's not possible at all. You all are blessed, and obviously, you're not normal public of this world. You are extraordinary because mercy of Krishna is not given to everyone. I mean, mercy of Krishna is available for everyone, but not everyone receives it. So, we all are very fortunate. I call myself also fortunate because by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the entire Guru Parampara, and Krishna, we have got this mercy. And the most important thing is we have got that mercy, and at the same time, we are inclined towards spirituality. Now, this is something which is rare. So, mercy is available, but who are those people who can receive that mercy? Only those who have got that inclination or to practice Krishna consciousness, to practice bhakti. And we Indians are very, very fortunate. When I try to understand what is happening in the foreign countries. Like a couple of weeks back, I was invited in ISKCON Columbus crowd, over Zoom only. I didn't fly there. So there, when I was addressing, I could see that they were like around 10 or 15 people for the weekly program. And I could just understand the situation there. It's so difficult. It's so difficult for various foreigners to accept Krishna consciousness. But for us, you see how simple it is. Right from childhood, all of us have been hearing about Krishna. Right from childhood, all of us, have been trained in some or the other way, to practice bhakti. Be it showing the incense or offering some flowers, or be it parents saying that if you don't do this, you'll be punished by the Lord. Or, we see our parents and, grandparents, and we have been practicing. Something we have been doing. And it's very natural in India to have faith because every now and then there is a festival. So one festival after another after another. Obviously now in COVID, all the festivals are online, like we had Deepotsav last time. So one or the other festival will be there which will remind us that yes, no, you belong to such a glorious culture. This is a reminder for all of us. And every festival reminds us that we are servants and we have to serve the master, then only we'll be happy. What do we do on festivals? On festivals, we worship the Lord. And naturally, we become happy. Naturally, we become happy. Why? Because we're serving the Lord at that time. So, one thing which I would like to share or ask you all, I basically request you all is, we all are fortunate when it comes to all these parameters. But now it's our turn to become serious in spiritual practices, serious in bhakti, especially when it comes to chanting. Chanting is the prime thing. You do puja or not, that doesn't matter in the age of Kali. Obviously, with time, when you learn how to do it, yes, that will matter. But as of now, what matters for all the beginners is chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. At least one round, all of us should at least chant one round. That's very, very important. Now, one person was saying that it's very difficult to chant one round also. Hare, if it's difficult to chant one round of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then what are we, how are we planning to break the cycle of birth and death? We invest so much of time in our day-to-day life, isn't it? Entire, now 24 hours is just utilized to take care of this body, take care of the family, take care of so many other things. And we know, all of us know that it's temporary. Still, we all are doing it and it's needed. But then after knowing that chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a permanent asset and not practicing it is not a very intelligent decision, right? So I request all of you all that please chant every single day. Why I'm saying this, why I'm stressing on this, because, I'm sure that all the ones who come on Thursdays and Sundays also are very sincere. And I've been seeing the attendance also. There's consistent attendance of many, many participants. There are so many participants who have attended all the sessions till now, all the 15 sessions. Now that's really, really glorious. But now, if we really want to convert all those teachings that we have learned into realizations, then we have to do this. We have to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We have to do some service. When we do that, automatically, all those theory that we are hearing in the classes will become a very strong realization and asset in our day-to-day life. So with this request, I'm starting today's Q&A session, and I'm sure that this desire of mine will be fulfilled by all of you all. And surely, that will give me a lot of happiness when I hear from you all that you're chanting every single day. So let me take the questions now. Last time there was one question on karma, which I couldn't take, so I'll take that now. The question is, why did God create us and make us undergo such pain? And what is the reason for karma if I was not coached to know what is good or bad karma? And then the next question, so there are five questions in this. If one was brought up in the bad environment and society has influenced me for bad karma, why should they go through papa results? So let me answer these two first, and then I'll take up. Okay, I'll read the other questions also, then we can discuss. Why did God give us insights on life as soon as we were born? Why should one's bad deeds affect everyone else in the family? What is the reason for atheism when God has created all human beings, and why there is so much religions when God controls everything? Okay, I think the entire 1 hour will go in discussing this. So let us take the first one. Why did God create us and make us undergo such pain? So we have to understand that we are part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter, Mamaivamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Mansasthyani Indriyani Prakriti Sthani Karshati. So Krishna says that all the living entities are my part and parcel. So as we were discussing in the last session, it was our call to be in this world. We wanted to become Krishna. We wanted to become God. Even in this world, I read one nice quote on a t-shirt long time back. I've been sharing this in so many sessions. So that quote says that I was an atheist. I was an atheist not till I realized that I'm God. So all of us want to become God, but then we don't understand that we are not gods, G-O-D-S. We are not gods. We are G-O-D apostrophe S. We are gods. We belong to Him. This understanding is missing, and that is the reason we are here in this material world. And see, pain in this material world should be there. This material world should be full of suffering. Like, for example, say we go to Antarctica. Say, we are allowed to go there, and we go there. And we say, oh, why is it cold here? Are, the place is meant to be cold. The place is like that. The place has to be cold. It's freezing cold there. So when we go there, so we have to feel that cold. But obvious. Similarly, Krishna never said that this world is Sukhalayam. Never he said that. He said that this world is Anandalayam. No. He says in Bhagavad Gita, Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. Very clearly, he's mentioned. So it's our problem, like when we're going to Antarctica and expecting, oh, I'll feel some warmth here. That's our problem. Why have we come to this place at all? If we want warmth, then we should go to some other place to get warmth. Yes. Maybe in South India, we should go to Andhra. There we'll have a lot of warmth. Or Mumbai for that matter. So if we want to be happy, then this is not a place to live. This is not a place to search for happiness. It's like searching happiness in this world is like searching a diamond, a Kohinoor Hira in garbage. What is the probability of finding a diamond in the garbage? It's zero. There's no question of finding a Kohinoor Hira in a garbage. Very, very, it's zero only, probability zero. Similarly, finding happiness in this world. See, when I say happiness, I'm not talking about temporary happiness. Whenever I say happiness in these sessions, we're talking about permanent happiness, which we all are craving for. Our heart is craving for permanent happiness. I'm talking about that happiness. I'm not talking about those flickering happiness. As soon as we see a movie, for a few minutes we are happy. As soon as we eat in the restaurant for a few minutes, we are happy. I'm not talking about that happiness which dies down immediately. I'm talking about the permanent happiness that we cannot find in this world. This place is not meant for that. So now the question might be, oh, then why this world is created? This world is actually like a jail. And all of us are prisoners. We all are criminals, so we are here in this material world. Sorry to use such a heavy statement, but this is a fact. What is the crime that we have committed? The crime that we have committed is we want to enjoy in this material world. Now we want to become God. You know, that is our crime, I would say. And we are in this world. So when the person is first put into the jail, what happens? He has been given clothes. So you might have seen those clothes, you know, having stripes. At least in the TV, movies, you know, it is shown like that. In reality, I don't know if that's the real case. I've never been to a jail, fortunately. Maybe to distribute Bhagavad Gita someday we'll go. So now, since we have come to this jail, we have been given a cloth. And what is that cloth? This is our cloth. This body is a cloth because we are spirit soul. We have got this body. And this body, you know, is made in such a way that it has to deteriorate, you know, with time. So janma, birth, mrityu, death, jara, old age, and vyadhi is basically, disease. So all of this is basically, part of this body, or all of this is a byproduct, of this body, I would say. Yes. So it's but obvious. So it's like, it has come with this body. Now, if we ask this question, why am I getting all these things? No, it is part of this body. We cannot escape from this. We cannot. So the pain is there. No, it will come. It will come because we are there in a world which is called as Dukkhalayam. And second thing is, we have got this body now, which is again fully painful because with time it is deteriorating, right? So the entire setup itself, is painful. It's like someone asking a question that, I'm in a swimming pool. Why am I wet? I'm in this Dukkhalayam. Why am I painful? It has to be painful. But then who chose this? God did not choose it for us. This has to be clear. Many people have this misconception that, oh, no, God has created this place so that I suffer. What will God get by making us suffer? What will he get? It is described very beautifully in Brahma Samhita. Sachidananda Vigraha. Ananda Chinmaya Sadujvala Vigrahasya. So he is full of happiness. He does not depend on anyone for happiness. So it's not that he's a sadist person giving us pain and he's happy. No, not like that. It is our call. We have taken the call to be here. We wanted to become masters, so we are here. We were not ready to accept the position of a servant, so we are here. It's like one analogy I would like to give, which will help you to understand this particular thing. So once a theistic person, a person who believes in God, he went to a barber shop, and then his hair was getting cut. The barber was cutting his hair, and barber was saying that there is no God here. There is no God in this world. If really God was there, then why is there so much of pain in this world? This was the question that he posted to that devotee. Now it is said devotees are very clever. They know very well how to answer these questions of atheistic people. So that person, he said, I'll answer this question sometime later. Then after, he had a nice haircut, he went outside the shop. And then when he was walking, he saw a mad person sitting on the street. He had long hair, long and shabby hair was there on his head. So that devotee, he took the barber. He went to the shop, he bought the barber and he showed. He said, hey, look at this person. He has got long hair. So it means there is no barber, there is no saloon in the entire world. No, barber was like, "Arey, what are you saying? What are you saying? This is not correct. I'm there. I'm there. He's not coming to me. That is the problem. She should come to me, then I'll cut his hair." And then the devotee said, "Similarly, this world is painful. So we are there in this world, But if we want to become happy, we have to connect back to the Supreme. We have to connect back to God. He is the reservoir of happiness. Then we can be happy. So it was our call to leave the little finger of Krishna. Now it's our call to catch back if we really want to become happy and get rid of the pain. So this is what is bhakti. Bhakti is about catching the little finger of Krishna again. I mean, taking shelter of Krishna again, telling Krishna that, I did a mistake of getting detached from you and coming here, thinking I'll enjoy. Now I don't want to repeat this. I want to come back to you. Right. So in this way, God has not created us to give pain. God has created us, we are eternal like God. And our job is to serve Krishna. Jivere Swarup hoy Krishna Nityadas. What is the Swarupa of a Jiva? That is Krishna Das. We are servants of Krishna. So this has to be clear. Since we are not accepting that role of a servant and trying to become the master, we in this world are suffering. So there is no role of Krishna here. This world is like that. And since our tendency is to be the master, we will suffer. But even when we are there in this world, and still, if we become the servant of Krishna, we revive that mood of servitorship, automatically we will become happy. And one practical example are these sessions. So in every session, all of you post, "Oh, it was so nice to attend this session, amazing, this and that." Why are you feeling amazing? Why are you feeling amazing? I'm not talking about your kid. I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm not talking about your relatives. I'm talking about Krishna. Why are you feeling happy? Because we are servants of Krishna. And when we hear about our master, automatically we'll become happy. This is the proof. This is the proof. There is no need of any other proof. When we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, many people, they share this. "I'm feeling peaceful. I'm feeling so happy," and things like that. Why? No, you're not chanting a spouse name or kid's name or relative's name on the beats. You're chanting Krishna's name. Why are you feeling happy? Why are you feeling peaceful and satisfied? This is the proof that we belong to Krishna. And when we try, we are just trying to connect with Krishna. We are not yet connected. We are trying to connect. And there is so much of happiness and bliss. Now just imagine when we get fully connected with Krishna, that will be like, aha. That happiness, no one can tell in words. That happiness cannot be described. So this is called as connecting back with Krishna. That be in this world. Please note this line if you want to. Be in this world, but not of this world. This is a very, very important point. Be in this world, but not of this world. And how can we do that? By practicing bhakti. We are there in this world. This world is full of pain and suffering. We are there in this world. But when we practice bhakti, we go to the next level. So we are in this world, but not of this world, because we are on a different platform. We are working on a different platform that is called as spiritual platform. So hope I answered that, why are we suffering, and about how to get rid of the pain. So both I've answered here. And the next thing that you're asking here is about, if one was brought up in bad environment and society had influenced me for bad karma, then why that person should be punished? We will see this in the seventh session. So it's not that the coin was tossed, head you go there, tail you go there. No, there's a logic. And what was that logic? Karma. So based on karma, we have got some situation and circumstances in our life, and it was our desire. It was our desire to be in certain situation and circumstance. So we have been put in such circumstance. When it comes to bad activities, we will see in-depth session on karma in the advanced sessions. After completing the nine sessions, all the ones who are qualified and interested, they will be allowed to attend the advanced sessions. So in that advanced sessions, in one of the session called Karma in Depth, there we will see that. No, it's a very, very deep topic, so I've not included here in the session level one Gita course. So in that particular topic, we'll see that how a person who is doing bad activities is actually stuck in a cycle. So it's like someone enters that cycle and remains in that cycle. So he does papa, and then he has the desire within, which is called as papa pravritti. And that papa pravritti, again, it manifests as papa. And that papa, again, is there in the heart. The impressions are still there. And then the person has that papa pravritti, the tendency to do papa, and again he keeps doing. Oh, this is the cycle that he's stuck in, right? So when a person is put in a bad environment, so it's like previous life he has stopped somewhere and he wanted to continue. That desire was there, so he has been put in that bad environment. Yes. So because of the papa that was there, he has been put in that particular situation, right? So now the question is, why should I be punished for that? Because I desired. I desired, so I should be punished for that. It was our desire, no? So we are here. So that is the reason. In fact, we'll see this particular topic in depth. I don't want to get into that now. So how this desire and action, so how this desire manifests in action, we'll see in the seventh session. A lot of technical topic is there in this to discuss. So the one line answer is, we desired, so we are there in this world. Our karma has put us in the bad association, and this bad association is because we desired and we wanted to be in that cycle, bad karma cycle. Yes. And how to break that? That is by practicing bhakti. And then the thing is, we ourselves cannot practice bhakti. Only when a devotee comes in our life and picks us up from that cycle and places us outside the cycle, then we can actually be rid of that cycle. Many times people ask this question, especially like one of my relative, a distant relative, was asking me this question. So in their house there is one drunkard, so he keeps drinking, you know, all the day. So they were asking that, you know, he understands what we are saying, and he understands that you know, he should give up drinking. He understands that he's troubling everyone, but still, why is he not able to give up? And for some days he will give it up, but still again he'll, you know, again get into the same act. Why? The answer is this. The answer is, he's stuck in that cycle. He's doing papa, and that is stored, that papa has stored in the heart as papa pravritti or impressions, and those impressions are manifesting again and again. So he's stuck in that cycle. How to come out of that cycle? Only when a devotee enters his life and helps him out, you know, by picking him up and, you know, saving him, telling him to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and praying for that person and helping that person to go to the higher platform of spirituality. That's what all the devotees here, especially the volunteers, doing. All the volunteers are praying for all of y'all. You don't know that, but you know, I being there in the organizing team, I know that. Every single day, every single volunteer, you know, they take your name and they're praying for you. You know, they have the list, you know, whom they are calling, and every single day they're praying. Yes. And since I'm the course instructor, you know, it's my service to all of y'all to pray. So every day, even I pray and do one extra Tulsi Pradakshina, you know, praying for all the Gita course participants. So there are so many people who pray, and by their prayers only it is possible for us to practice bhakti, or else not possible. In fact, today, you know, when I talk about myself, if I'm a devotee today, then it's because of the prayers, you know, which devotees have offered 10 years back when I started, and even now so many devotees are offering prayers for me, right, to you know, be in bhakti and elevate in bhakti. So there should be some person who should enter that person's life to break that cycle of bad karma. And that, you know, that person should be a devotee. And I would say we all are fortunate. We all have those devotees in our life. For you all are very fortunate to have those volunteers, you know, who are practicing bhakti so nicely, who are such nice devotees. And when they call you know, the mood is that, you know, they pray for you and they call you saying, when they're asking you, are you coming? So they're not asking you that, are you coming for the session or not? You know, it depends on you anyways. But they're just reminding you that there is a session, don't miss it. It's a way to break that cycle which you're stuck in. Only for that reason they give a call, so that at least by hearing their voice, you know, our mind will not trick us. Mind will say, okay, that person is calling, let's go. Right? So hope this is clear. Why we are stuck in the cycle of bad karma? We desired it. Our papa that we have done in the past is actually triggering us to do papa now, and we are stuck in that cycle. And the only way we can break the cycle is when we come in touch with devotees. They will help us to break the cycle. And why am I suffering? Because I have desired to do papa. Hope this clears. And anyways, we'll discuss this in the advanced session more in more detail. And also in the seventh session, who is pulling my strings? In that also we'll discuss some parts of it. I just gave a superficial answer here. Okay, why did God give us insights on life as soon as we are born? So we will not believe. God is acting like our servant. So we all have, you know, from many lifetimes we have been desiring so many things. And When we leave that body in the past life, when we leave that body and take a new body, we forget what were our desires. So Krishna as Paramatma within the heart, he actually reminds us that this was your desire. So do you want to get it fulfilled? Can you imagine? We are servants of Krishna, but Krishna is acting like our servant. He is reminding us that what are our desires. So because we desired something very intensely in the past, Krishna is giving us insights of this life, you know, as soon as we become mature, so that, you know, that unfulfilled desire becomes fulfilled now in this life. So Krishna's mode is, let my child be happy. You know, in last life, he couldn't fulfill his desire. At least in this life, you know, let him fulfill his desire and be happy. I don't know if we can ever find such a parent anywhere. It's like anyone who understands about Krishna cannot stop but loving him. Cannot stop. The ones who cannot love Krishna, they have not heard about Krishna. Simple. Anyone who hears about Krishna, the service that Krishna renders to all of us in day-to-day life, lifetime after lifetime, you know, we'll see that with time, you know, when we keep hearing about Krishna, we'll fall in love with Krishna. That is there. So it is said, Krishna consciousness is very dangerous. Anyone who comes to Krishna consciousness falls in love with Krishna. Yes. And then he can never return to the sinful life back. No, because he has got higher taste of loving Krishna. So yes, so this is the answer for your question, that since we desired and our desires were unfulfilled, so Krishna as our eternal parent is reminding us that, no, this was your unfulfilled desire. Go ahead now in this life and fulfill. So he's giving us various insights, you know, in this particular life. Why should one's bad deeds affect everyone else in the family? Oh, this is a very nice question. Oh, please hear this carefully. So one thing we have to understand is how the families are created. This is very, very important to understand. Someone had asked me a question, you know, are marriages made in heaven? Something was asked like that. There are a few other linked questions to this. So maybe all that, you know, I'll try to answer here. So based on the previous, there's something called as collective karma. Let me explain you the concept of collective karma. So there's something called as individual karma. There's something called as collective karma. Individual karma is like whatever activities we have done, now we have to suffer for that. Collective karma is like group of people will come together and they will suffer the same sort of karma. Many of the times people ask this question that, you know, so many people are traveling in bus. No, the bus accident happened and all of them died. What was God doing? Sometimes people are traveling to holy places and, no, there's a bus accident and people die. So what is God doing? No, these are the questions. God is not doing anything here. People are suffering their own karma. Yes. So what happens? So let me explain, you know, through an example. Suppose a person called A and a person B. In past life, you know, they were together and there was some exchange, you know, that happened. But there are some exchanges, those are still remaining. So in the next life, say this life, they have again come back together, either as family members or, you know, as friends, colleagues, or whatever. So everyone in our life whom we come in touch with, everyone in our life whom we are interacting with, we are not meeting them for the first time. There is some exchange that is remaining. There is some exchange that is remaining. Either we have tortured them, so we are torturing us. So hope now you understand, you know, why you have such a boss in the office or why you have such a boss at home. And you know, the physical Gita courses, I asked this question. So the people in the past who were enemies, what will they become now in this life? And the answers that I get is they'll become husband and wife. Or the recent answers which I'm getting is they'll become kids. These are the answers that I'm getting now. See, this is the fact. And I'm not saying that enemies will become husband and wife. No, I'm not talking about that. The fact is that people who left some exchange in the past, they come back together now in this life to, you know, complete that exchange. And then again, the exchange goes on, and it's unending exchange, right? You know, so it just goes on. So some exchange remains, and again in the next life, you know, there's some exchange more. So in this way, we see that when family members are put together, when a family is put together, so all those members, you know, they have something to give and take, you know, with each other. That is the reason that they're together. So now, when one person is doing some bad activities and everyone else is suffering, it's actually all of them, they have that sort of karma, so they have come together. And they have to suffer. And that particular person who's giving that suffering, he's just acting as an instrument not to give that suffering. If not that person, something else will come. Some monetary problem will come. Someone will fall sick in the house. Something will happen. Something will happen. And the entire family together will suffer, right? Why? Collective karma. So they have been put together with the same sort of karma. People have come together. Those people whose exchanges were remaining, they have come together. And they are either enjoying together or suffering together. This is a fact. This is the fact of life. And then sometimes we say that, why I've got this person is troubling me so much. Past life we might have troubled him, so he's troubling us now. Simple. Yes. So in this way, we have to understand that nothing in this world is illogical. Nothing. So prakriti, the material nature, who remembers all this and puts us together in and or puts us in a particular situation, it's all from the past life karma. It is not at all illogical. It's not that, out of nowhere I've been put in this situation. Anytime we are suffering in our life, we should understand, or anyone not troubling us, we should understand that this is coming from the past. This is not something, which is out of, by chance. There's nothing by chance in this world. Sometimes people say that, oh, no, it was my luck. There's nothing called luck. Yes. Lucky draw. There's nothing called luck there. It's all about punya. So now, Gita Kaur, as Gita Kaur students, you will very, very nicely understand what is luck, what is unluck. So sometimes people say, I was lucky to get this. Oh, I was so unlucky. When a person is saying lucky, basically the punya is manifesting in that particular instance. And then, when you're saying unlucky, so that, papa is manifesting. I remember it was one Deepavali festival. I don't remember the year. And my parents had purchased some gold, from a gold shop, and there was some lucky draw there. And my parents, they didn't have so much of faith that our name will come in the lucky draw, so we didn't go there to see. And then one of our neighbor, she had gone there, and then she went there, and then she saw, remembered the number of the person who won the highest prize, and that was a bike. So she came back and she asked why you people didn't come, and we said that we don't have that much of faith that we'll get it. No, and I think one of our family member, they said that we are not that lucky. And then she said, okay, show me the numbers. Then she started seeing, and then that particular number was ours, so that number matched, and we won that bike. We got that bike. Then they were then many people are saying, you people are so lucky, you people are so lucky. But you know what? That bike came to our house, and then we drove, we used that bike for some time. But then that bike, then we gave it to a relative, and then that relative started feeling, oh, I'm so lucky, I got a bike for free. So who is lucky here, and what was the entire scene? Only a Gita Kaur student can understand. Yes. So if we have that particular set of punya, then we can enjoy that thing that is coming. So we had punya, so we got it. But we should have that punya to enjoy that particular thing also. What we have got. If we don't have, no, we'll not be able to enjoy. Sometimes people say, I've got everything in my life, but I'm not happy. Yes, you don't have enough punya to enjoy whatever you have. Simple. Right? So the point is, of collective karma is, people with same sort of karma, they come together, and they have to either enjoy or suffer. You will see some families are extremely happy. Some families are miserable right from the day the family has been formed. So it's all because of the collective karma. So hope this answers your question. Also, I added one extra point about luck and unluck, lucky and unlucky. So this also we have to be clear. We shouldn't be superstitious saying, I'll put a black thread on my hand and then I'll become lucky. That is all nonsense. We become lucky when Krishna comes in our life, because he's the source of all luck. So now that is the actual lucky. Because that person, Krishna, when he enters our life, we break the cycle of birth and death. That is called as lucky. Not winning a lottery or getting something here and there. Hope this answers your question. And one last question was, what is the reason for atheism when God has created all human beings, and why is there so many religions when God controls everything? I think why so many religions, I answered this question in one of the session. So all of you all who want to go back to the session and see, so if you go to the YouTube, in every single video, Q&A session video, in the description block, there are questions and their timestamp is also mentioned where the answer is given. So say there's a question, why to chant Mahamantra? So timestamp is given from 8 minutes to 15 minutes. No, so you can directly go to the 8 minute, you know, you can just go take your cursor to 8 minutes and from there you can hear. So there is the answer. So like that, you can go back and see, you know, there are a lot of questions and you know, surely you know, you'll get this answer for why many religions. I'll not repeat that. And instead I'll take why atheism. So atheism, one is, you know, people, you know, they want to live their own life the way they want. My life, my own way, my life, highway, whatever, you know, whatever they call it as. So there are different slogans which people use. So such people, they don't want anyone at the top. If anyone is there at the top, it means that person has to be under the control of that person who is at the top. So no one wants to be under the control of anyone in this world. That is the problem. So when we accept someone as God, when we accept Krishna as God or as our master, so it means we have to serve him, we have to be under him, we have to follow what he's saying. Oh, who will do all this? I want to be independent in this world. I want to enjoy myself. So such people, they become atheistic. No, they become atheistic. In fact, I did a you know, some nice analysis on this a long time back, maybe some 6 years back. You know, I made some points. Let me recollect if I get those. So one is one point which I had mentioned there in that analysis was because of the dhongi sadhus. So many people in this world, when they see that there are so many dhongi sadhus and you know they have been put behind bars, so what happens is they lose faith, especially people like us who are educated. We start feeling, oh, what is the use of practicing bhakti like this? A person in saffron robes, a person who is a sadhu, a person who is a monk, oh, he is put behind bars for a rape case, for some scam, for some murder. Oh, if Godmen are like this, if the representative of gods are like this, then you know, I don't think there is any God. There's no God for sure. And people become atheistic. But not to be very frank, you know, if I start giving analysis on this point, then you'll understand. It's not that person's mistake. It's our mistake. Who gave us that authority to have faith in a person who is a cheat? Who told us to have faith on the cheater? We decided ourselves. Why? Because we don't have knowledge on whom to choose as Godwin. That is very important. Anyone who is able to do some miracle, people feel, oh, he's a Godwin. Oh, he's so great. Aray, anyone can do miracle. If you remember in the childhood, we all have seen the magicians doing magic. You know, they'll remove some you know, paper from you know, the hand. Now that actually is not coming from the hand, it's coming from the sleeves. You know, they just remove and they show and then we all like, we clap. You know, like those immature kids, you know, elders also act very immaturely. You know, someone gives basma, someone gives something, someone you know removes a gold ring or whatever. And you know, people are like, oh, okay, he's God and this and that. No, we should know who is God and who is not. We should know who is Guru. You know, anyways, in the next session, we're going to see. The topic is, do I need a guide? In that, we'll see who is a true Guru, who is a fake Guru. You know, we'll have clear logical distinction. And we'll have parameters also to analyze. You know, who is who? And when we understand that parameters, then no one can cheat us. So this is the first reason that people say that, oh, no, these godmen are all dhongis, they're cheaters. I don't think there is any God. So intellectual peoples, they know the intellectual people, they literally go away, you know, from such dhongis. And when they have staunch faith on such dhongis and when these dhongis are put behind bars, they lose all the faith. And they lose faith in God also. This first. Second, people want to commit sin. They want to do sinful activities. And if they realize that, oh, there is some God, then they have to follow some rules and regulations given by God. And they are like, oh, if I start following rules and regulations, how will I be able to do these sinful activities? No, no, better there is no God. So in this way, no, either no, due to some situation and circumstance or due to his own tendency, no, person becomes atheistic. And another important thing is, maybe some other day we can take, because of the influence of the Britishers. So there's an elaborate session which I take called The Lost Wealth, where we analyze what Mughals did, what Britishers did. So Britishers literally, you know, they have slaughtered our culture. Literally slaughtered our culture. They were very intelligent. They knew very well that why India is so stable and progressing. You know, when they entered, good number of decades back, when they entered India, they were actually baffled and they were surprised to see that how come these people are so happy, so stable, and how come this country is progressing so nicely. And with time, they understood it's all because of the Vedic culture. It's all because of the Shastra. They're following Shastra as it is. They are the believers in God. And they were so intelligent that they cut the root very nicely. They removed the Shastra. And they made everything as mythology. Even today, when educated people come together, what do we call Rama and Mahabharata as mythology? I like mythology. You know, some people are so foolish, they say that I like mythology. Are it's not mythology, it's truth. It's truth, it's a historical fact. Even today in Google Map, you can see that Ram Setu, that trace is still there. Kurukshetra is still present. Vrindavan, Mathura is still there. All those places where the pastimes have happened, all those things are there. And it's not our mistake, when we call mythology. No, it's the root, the education that we have got. That is the thing. And they were so intelligent. They were so intelligent. They replaced the entire Sanskrit with our, with the language I'm speaking currently, that is English. And they made English as the prime language. And even today, when we want to learn Sanskrit, either you should know some language you should know. Either you should know English, Hindi, whatever. Then you'll be able to learn Sanskrit. Like, for example, to learn Sanskrit, if I say Bhavataha, on to you or you when I'm addressing someone. So I should, there's a table, first Sanskrit, and then, we have equivalent English word. So basically, Sanskrit was an independent language, and that has, made a dependent language now. And Shastras, and the faith on Shastras, everything they have burnt. Everything they have burnt. So this is one of the, one of the reasons why current day so-called intellectual crowd, so-called intelligent people, so-called educated ones, why they don't believe in God, influence of Britishers, and now obviously the media and other things also. Anyways, I'll not get into that discussion. In that particular topic, I'll nicely beat all these topics, and then we'll nicely do post-mortem of all these topics and discuss more detail. I would say, this is one of the reasons. So like this, many reasons are there why people have become atheistic. And one reason which we all are responsible for is we, as practitioners of Bhakti Yoga, we are not equipping ourselves properly with the philosophy. Sometimes our faith is dependent on sentiment. Oh, I like it. My parents told me. So I'm doing it. If you ask some reason why you're doing it, I don't know. My grandfather told me, so I'm doing it. No. We intellectual people, we should know the reason why it is. We should know the philosophy behind what we are doing. That's very, very important. And when someone is asking us, when an atheistic person is asking us, we should be able to answer that question. Yes, it's not that, oh, my father did it. I'm continuing. No, that's a foolish reason. And the atheist will say, oh, okay, my father was atheist, so I'm also atheist. So to be very frank, even we are one of the reasons why there are so many atheists around. If we are equipped with Bhagavad Gita and we can quote shlokas and tell them, yes, here it is given that why this thing is happening. Here it is given why that thing is happening. And when we quote the shloka nicely, or when we explain the philosophy logically, now then people will appreciate. Even atheistic people will become theistic. Now I myself seen in so many of my Gita course sessions, many atheistic people have come, and after hearing Bhagavad Gita logically and scientifically, they have become such nice devotees. They started chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. They have become much more better than the existing devotees. So I would say that we are also one of the reason that we are not spreading the cult of Bhagavad Gita. We are not equipping ourselves, with the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. No, I can go on speaking on this topic, but I would like to pause here. So hope this answers your question of why atheism. Let me take some one or two questions and end today's session. Okay. Okay, this is a very frequently asked question. If karma of the kids isn't considered, then if the kid dies early, on what basis will they get the new body? Okay. See, one thing we have to understand is the karma of the kid in that particular life, below the age of 11, is not considered basically, right? So when the whatever activities the kid is doing below the age of 11 or something, so since he's not matured, since intelligence is not developed, so his activities will not be considered, will not be taken seriously by Prakriti. But then, what about the entire set of karma that is there from many, many lifetimes? Right? All that is there in the bank. So based on that, no, things are decided. Sometimes people ask, oh, God is so cruel. He's killing kids also. No. Now, God is not killing kids. God does not kill anyone. People themselves kill themselves by their own karma. In fact, we decide our life. We decide our next life by our own activities. So in the past life, some heinous act is done by which in this life, you know, either the child is dying in the womb itself or the child is dying after coming out of the womb or after becoming 4 or 5 years or, you know, after becoming an adult or whatever. So, you know, finally the person dies because of the past karma, not because of the current karma. And how is the next body decided? Oh, anyways, a lot of karma is still there. So based on that, the next body will be given after that. So hope this answers the question. So here, the block that is there when we are asking this question, is we just consider the past life thing. And we think that past life has decided now this life and now this life will decide next life. No, it's not like that. Many, many lifetimes we have done so much of karma and there's a, no, in the bank it is deposited nicely. Huge deposit is there. No, our bank balance is huge. Karma bank balance. So that is not given entirely in one life. No, the delayed karma is slowly and steadily given in different lives. Right. So based on that, that child who is dying very early, no, will get the next body. I hope this clears the question. I came across another question on WhatsApp that, no, I've got so much of faith in God, but still, no, why my God didn't save, you know, my parents, my grandparents, my kids or whatever. You know, this is the question which people ask. See, one thing we have to understand here, you know, very, very important thing, that everyone who is taking in this birth in this world has to die. Has to die. There is no one in this world who can say I'm immortal. This is very, very important. Okay. And based on the person's karma, the birth date is decided. As soon as the birth day is decided, similarly, the death day is decided. We know the birthday, so we celebrate. Happy birthday to you. But we don't know the death date, or else we would have celebrated that also. But only when the person dies, then we understand, oh, okay, you know, this was his death date. So as soon as we take birth, based on our past karma, this is called as prarabdha. Based on our prarabdha, we have been, you know, given birth in certain family. On a certain date, we take birth. And on a certain date, we will die. Now, when we are foolishly praying to the Lord that, oh Lord, no, please save my grandfather. Oh Lord, please save my child. Please say, okay, no problem. We can pray. But then we shouldn't expect that, oh, okay, this will happen or this should happen. Because we cannot change someone's karma. Please understand this. We cannot change someone's karma. Yes, if the person is practicing bhakti, then yes, karma changes. As I told in the last session, so punya and papa are there. But punya and papa can be burnt to ashes by practicing bhakti. And when we practice bhakti, we are directly under Krishna and Krishna will do the rest in our life. He will direct us in various ways. But when a person is not practicing bhakti, then only karma will act. Only karma will act. Yes, Krishna will not act there. So the point is, so we shouldn't foolishly think, oh, I prayed, but still God did not fulfill my desire. And this is based on karma. Yes. So it's on based on karma, it's happening. So there is no question of God's intervention here. And another thing is, people say that, oh, okay, I'm praying to the Lord, but my, you know, why my desires are not fulfilled? Oh, I don't think there is any God. This is another reason of atheism I forgot to mention. Such people are so foolish, I tell you. Now, what do we think? God is our order supplier. He's our order carrier or what? We order him. We clap 3 times and we say, hey, idara. Come in front of me. I want to ask you something. Are you stupid? No, God is God. You know, who are we? We are his servants. We are the order carriers, not God. He's not our order carrier. But we are so foolish and so stupid that we feel that, yes, God is my order carrier. When I go to the temple, when I'm asking him, I give you laddus, you give me this, we expect he should give. He should give. This is the foolishness that is there in the head of people. So we should understand that, it's not that the God, you know, who is our order supplier, we are his order supplier. When he tells us something in Bhagavad Gita, we have to do that because we're servants of him. He is not our servant. So when we are praying, our prayer should be, oh Lord, if you so desire, and I would like to get this. This is called as a prayer. It's not that, oh Lord, I want this. If you so desire, I would like to get this, in my life. And I feel, this will help me out to progress like this. And if you feel that, I'll be able to get closer to you by, this particular activity or this desire getting fulfilled, please sanction this desire. This is how the prayer is offered. No, it's not that we go and demand, I want it, I want it, I want it. Just imagine when your kid is just nagging you, I want it, I want it, crying, and then, going and telling the neighbors, my parent is, worst of the worst parents. Sometimes I've seen, small kids coming and talking. My mother is not good. I asked her this, she didn't give me. I asked her for ice cream, she didn't give me. What sort of mother she is? Your mother is so nice. Whenever you ask for ice cream, she gives. But that child is so foolish and stupid. He does not understand. He's so immature. He does not understand that when he was asking for ice cream, he was having fever. And so his mother was not giving. Similarly, when we are asking something to God, we are having some sort of fever. And so Lord is not sanctioning. Because Lord knows, if I give this particular thing to him, either he'll become very proud or he'll go away. Little bhakti is doing, he will not do. He'll go away from the path of bhakti. He'll not be able to break the cycle of birth and death. With that mood, with that thing in the mind, Krishna, sometimes he'll sanction, sometimes he'll not. This has to be clear for everyone, right? But anyways, we don't expect Krishna to fulfill our desires. Why should he fulfill our desires? Is he our servant? No. Then why should we expect him to do that? So this is a very, very important thing. All the students who are understanding Gita or who are participating in this Gita course should understand very clearly that we are servants and God is master. We have to serve him, not that he has to serve us first. Second is, based on our karma, things are going to happen. So why should we pray to God to change our karma? Yes, we have to suffer. No, we have to suffer for whatever we have done. So let us do that. Let us do that. In fact, we should ask Lord that, oh Lord, I don't want anything. I just want to come back to you. I've been there in this world for many, many lifetimes. Now I don't want to be here. I want to come back to you. I want to break the cycle of birth and death. And whatever karma is there, anyways, I have to suffer. So I don't, I'm not asking you to remove this karma. But oh Lord, one prayer which I have is that please never allow me to go out of bhakti. Please never allow me, to stop chanting. Please never allow me to go out of devotee association. This is my only prayer, Lord. And anyways, other things will manifest depending on our karma, right? So in this way, we should understand that when we are offering prayers to the Lord, how to offer prayers first. Second, when our desires are not fulfilled, we should understand that like a mother is not giving ice cream to a child who is having fever. Similarly, we are having some problem, so Lord is not fulfilling their desire. Third, when some person is dying, even after our prayers, we should understand this one important point that that person is dying. Why that person is dying? That person is dying because of his prarabdha, not because of some other thing. And our prayer cannot change his prarabdha. Every person has got an individual journey. Please understand. Every person is traveling alone in this world. I always give this example of train analogy. I'll give this analogy and end the session for today. All of us are traveling. All of us are travelers. Consider a train journey. All of us are traveling in a train. So for example, I get into inside a train in a station called A, station A. And then one of you will get in station B, and then the next station C. So all of us come together and then we all are sitting, in that 3x3. So three people are sitting there and three people are sitting on this side. And all of us are discussing. And we have, then we develop a very nice bonding between each other and things like that. But then none of us are having a same journey. All of us are having individual journeys. So I'm going to get down at my destination, and the person sitting beside me, he's going to get down at another destination. That person is going to get down at another destination. Now, I cannot pray to God, oh God, he should get down with me only. He shouldn't get down before me. He has got his own destination. He has to get down when his station comes. Right? So all the people, when we are called as family members, we all have got into a train called the journey of life. And all of us, we have got different destination. We don't have same destination. Please understand. All of us have got different destination. We have got inside the train. The ticket is also different. The birth date and the death date is written in the ticket. The start of the journey and end of the journey is mentioned on the ticket. And everyone has got a different ticket. But the only thing that is same is the karma. You know, so we are come together. We are there in the same train. So now when we are praying that, oh, please change this destination, no, in the ticket. No, ticket is already sanctioned. You cannot change the ticket now. It is done, right? So person has to get down wherever he has to get down. And where you have to get down, you have to get down. You cannot pray, you know, saying, you know, please change my ticket now. No, not possible. That option was there before, not now. Hope now you understand. Hope all of us understand that what we have to pray and how we have to pray. And when our desires are not fulfilled, why our desires are not fulfilled? And you know, when something is happening in our life, why those things are happening in our life? This is the beauty of Bhagavad Gita. This is the beauty of Bhagavad Gita. Only people who are understanding Bhagavad Gita, they will be able to answer all these questions. All of us. Now in future, whenever you're going through some phase of your life, some critical phase of your life, when you just close your eyes and ask this question, why it is happening, you will get that answer from Bhagavad Gita. Whatever you have heard or whatever you have read from Bhagavad Gita, you will get that answer and you will feel so blissful. Now you will be in complete distress and pain and suffering. But still, since you know the answer why you're going through that suffering, you'll be blissful. You'll be like, oh, okay, you know, part of life. So you know, I'm in the train and you know, train has got some Uber covered in between. You know, it is not going, you know, smooth. It's okay, no problem. No, later it might become smooth. That's my journey, what to do. And when someone dies in the family, you know why that you know, person has died. It was his journey. He's continuing his journey. So in this way, when we understand Bhagavad Gita in depth, like we're doing in our Gita course sessions, we'll be able to answer the life questions. And when we are able to do that, we'll be happy in our life. We'll be blissful, even when so many tragic situations are happening around. So with this, I would like to pause today's session. So I was just thinking, what can be the service, you know, because as we said, when to convert this theory into realization, we should chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and we should do some service. So now, since you're not there here physically, and we are not having a physical satsang, so physically, when we come together, we clean the temple, we wash the vessels, we cook, so many services we do, but then now we don't have as such. So one service which I'm able to think of is transcription service. So like, for example, you know, the Q&A sessions those are happening. So if someone can type whatever I'm answering in the previous videos, like question, you can type the question and then you type the answer for the same. So those question and answers, you know, it can be, you know, retained in that particular description block, or we can create a, you know, FAQ page and we can have it there, because many, many people have similar questions. So we can help them out, you know, by this service. So anyone who is interested, you can contact your respective volunteer to do this service. So it will take time, you know, because you have to hear the audio and type, and you cannot change anything. You know, whatever is spoken, that has to be typed. So it might take some time, right? But any of you who are interested, you know, you can contact your volunteers, and those volunteers will send the name to us, and then you know, we'll see how to take it forward. So we are just thinking how to engage, you know, how to give you all services. So this is one of the service. In future, if we get some other service, you know, we'll see, you know, how what can we do. And also, I was thinking that you know, we can have all the volunteers. No, I've not told the volunteers yet, but you know, before that, I'm telling you all. Maybe we can have our individual groups where you all can also post something. As of now, the groups that you're in is like just one way, where we are posting and you have to just read or listen. So there can be groups where you know, like for example, after today's session. So you all can post, you know, what is your realization. So other can post, you know, what is their realization. You know, like that, you know, we can do. That can be another service. So anyways, we'll implement this. So the volunteers will get back to you. I have to still discuss with the volunteers how to go about with this. Yes. And also, if you are not getting call from any volunteer, you know, it's very, very important. You should be in touch with some volunteer. You should be in touch with some devotee. See, you're hearing me, but I'm there as a virtual person, right? No, it's like, no, it's like I'm just there on screen. You know, I'm not able to talk to you personally. Obviously, I'm taking your personal questions and other things, but then no, it's not like, you know, I'm calling you and saying, Hare Krishna, how are you? And things like that. That volunteers can do. And we have to be in touch with some volunteer. So if you are not getting any call, so I request you. So in those WhatsApp groups, one devotee called Sriram Prabhu is posting the messages, so you can text him. that I'm not getting any calls from anyone. Please assign me a volunteer. So like that, you can be in touch with some devotee. Okay. So with this, I would like to stop here and let's do mantra meditation now and end the session for today. And the next session, Sunday session, is titled as "Do I Need a Guide?" Very, very important session again, where we'll try to learn what are the qualities of a person who can be called as guru and who is a dongi sadhu. When we understand this, and I'm going to explain it technically, no sentiment here. Oh, he looks so nice in saffron dress. Oh, he looks so nice, with a nice hairstyle. No, nothing like that. Technically, what is his qualification? What should be the qualification of a guru? Now that we'll discuss from Bhagavad Gita in the next session. So let's do mantra meditation for next few minutes.